Welcome into Dynasty Down Under, Bluey Ballers, hosted on Ball Boy Talk, the Unhinged Sports Podcast. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Jay, and thanks for joining your 12 favorite bandits who are NBA junkies, fantasy sports junkies, and dads who are just here for a good time, and since it's a Dynasty League, also a very long time as well. Today on the podcast, we're talking about our league's weekly recap, some big-time trades going down in the league, which is insane. Really can talk about some strategy here in the near future. A little bit of NBA news, rumors, injuries. But we're really going to jump into more today. Rookie review, prospect preview, sophomore slumps or nah, and lastly, what's going on with the blank? And that would be essentially a team that we're going to talk about. I think you guys put that together. So let's jump right into our weekly recap. So our weekly recap, our league was another great week. It was another good week for myself. I'll take it. Let's find the weekly recap, weekly report. So the best manager of the week goes out to Lord Sage. And we're going to say his name a lot. That's his handle. His actual username is now Discount Presti. You'll understand why. He put up 311. That is the highest score in the league on the year. And then the lowest score was actually D Commodore, Classic Stripe. He only put up 207. He only got 74% of his matchup. So he scored 27 out of 278.5. So that's a pretty big disparity. I'm not going to lie. So that was quite the disappointing week for him, I feel. But that's okay. He has Sengun, who is untouchable, unfortunately. I've been trying to get him, but alas, it has not succeeded. Let's see what else has gone on. Let's review here. So, myself, I won against the Puzini Dynasty, 271 to 239. I had 7 top picks. He had 6. I had no worst picks. Lord Sage, again, he won. Against Pavola and Pavic, 311.5 to 254. He also didn't have a very efficient week. Popping with Tebow, 1-262 over Classic Stripe, who drops to 0-4, yet he is reluctant to sell any of his most valuable pieces. Mitchman, 95, lost to Magic Claws. Magic Claws won, 265 to 242. That looks like it's our closest matchup on the week. And then to Infinity, went beyond 1-262.5 to 214 against that blue guy, who now drops to 0-4. And then All Balls, no bite, 1, improves to 3-1 against Skitty's Bandits, who are now 2-2 after putting up 238 points total. So that's kind of where things lie. Lord Sage, he had the best performance. He was 98.6% accurate. I was right behind him at 93% accurate. Magic Claws, 88, and then all the way down to Classic Stripe at 74%. Our current standings as they stand now, Popping with Tebow is 4-0, so he's right at the top. I'm in second place with 3-1. To Infinity when Beyond is 3-1. All Balls No Bite is 3-1. And then that's our top four right now. And then, of course, Mitchman 95 is in fifth. Pavlova and Pavic is sixth. I believe that would round out our playoffs if they were to start this week. Our most efficient manager, we already talked about that. Halliburton was the highest scoring point guard. Devin Booker, shooting guard. Kevin Durant, small forward. Giannis, highest scoring power forward. And then Wembanyama, highest scoring center. Let's see, our top free agents according to points. Some interesting names here. S. Umde, Detroit guard. He averaged about 11 fantasy points on the week. Isaiah Joe, OKC combo forward. Combo guard forward, 16 fantasy points average. Kevin Knox, small forward, power forward for Detroit. Average 13.83. So essentially two Pistons on here. We're going to talk a little bit more about that team a little bit later in detail. And then you got Chris Boucher. He averaged 15.25. And then you got Isaiah Jackson, Indy big man, who is going to benefit from Dyeth being gone for sure. So 14.25 average fantasy points on Sleeper. And that's our weekly recap of scores and whatnot. But there was quite a few trades that started early on Monday. So I posted last episode, we saw Jose Alvarado get dropped. I mean, that's fine. I don't think anyone really wants him. And we saw Lord Sage make a trade with Tim A.G. He ended up trading away Anthony Davis, and he got Evan Mobley and a 2026 first-round pick. And then Papa Wittipo ended up dropping Derek Jones. I dropped Dario Saric. He's just been so streaky, inconsistent. Kerr is really trying to figure out his best rotation with his guys. He's going to figure it out. He always does, so we'll see what happens. And then Lord Sage made another trade where he got Jalen Williams, OKC, for Fred VanVleet. He gave up VanVleet and a second to get Williams. Was that the whole trade? That was the whole trade. So I don't know about all that, but definitely the jury made out good on that one for sure. So some big front office energy, big Thanksgiving top fire sale going on. Lord Sage and AB Pack made a deal as well while the stove was hot. Lord Sage received Franz Wagner, small forward Atlanta, Josh Giddey, OKC, 1-2 guard, and then a 2024 third for Paul George and D'Anthony Melton. Again, solid pickup. Posted some pretty funny memes that I made. I thought they were pretty funny. Let's see here. Going down, Discount Presti changed his name. AB Pack changed his name to actually Asar's Dad Rules. So Asar's Dad Rules made that great trade. And then Lord Sage made a deal with Poppin' with Tebow. He's making deals with everyone but me, allegedly. Even though I was the one who inspired the fire sale to begin with. Let's see. Lord Sage received De'Aaron Fox, DeAndre Hunter, small forward Atlanta, 2025 second and a 2026 first for Kawhi Leonard and Darius Garland. So really good trade. Getting De'Aaron Fox and some picks there. Popping with Tebow, dropped Mortiz Wagner. That's okay. So overall, so far, he had traded, just to kind of give you guys a recap, Paul George, Anthony Davis, D'Anthony Melton, Fred VanVleet, Kawhi Leonard, Darius Garland, and a 2025 second. He's flipped that into Jalen Williams, Evan Mobley, Franz Wagner, Josh Giddey, De'Aaron Fox, DeAndre Hunter, a 2024 third, a 2025 first, a 2025 second, and a 2026 first. So yeah, pretty crazy stuff. Really impressed. Nick Smith got picked up by Poppin' with Tebow. Like that move. I picked up Daniel Theis and dropped Killian Hayes. So that was a little bit overdue. I claimed Jonathan Isaacs off of the waivers this morning. And then Lord Sage, of course, keeping it home, picked up Isaiah Joe, solid role player. And then he also picked up Dario Saric, which I can't get behind this dude. He's been so streaky. He's averaging about 20-point fantasy points-ish over his last seven. He's really leading that bench. He's getting points. He's getting minutes. I just don't know. He's on a full-on platoon with Kevin Looney, so I think he's limited. I think he's very limited, kind of depending on what happens there. But that's our full recap of our league so far through Wednesday. Some good stuff going down. So, yeah, really liking it. Let's jump into our league news, rumors, and injuries. So, some rumors. We're really seeing the Kings really come out as a very strong trade destination, like a trade landing spot. They have assets, they have money, they have tradable contracts. They're going to be involved in every star player, allegedly. Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, possibly Zach LaVine. Who knows who else they could be? If there's a star available, they're going to be making calls, according to multiple reports. The entire Bulls roster allegedly is getting trade interest. To an extent, I would call some cap on Williams. But LaVine, DeRozan, Caruso. Caruso's getting a ton of calls. A ton of calls for Caruso. Not so many for Vucevic that have been reported. Not a ton for DeRozan. A lot for LaVine. LaVine's kind of the big fish. If they trade him first, they'll get the other guys out. He's the biggest name. He's being linked to Sacramento, the Lakers, several teams. I honestly hate the trade to the Lakers. They don't really have the contracts to trade. They don't have the money to stay under the tax. And they don't have the picks or the assets. And they don't have really the money after this year to keep paying him $40-plus million. So, very interesting kind of what happens there. So that's a couple of the biggest rumors. The next one is the Clippers, the Warriors, and the T-Wolves. They all really need to prove that they deserve to keep their cores together or be candidates for dismantling them to avoid the luxury tax. Again, I can see this going either way. For the Clippers, it just happened, but they have that new arena. I think that they're going to go over the tax to keep stars in LA because you have to have stars in LA, especially if you're opening up a new arena. The Warriors, this one's really tricky because you do have a team that looks old, looks tired. Klay looks tired. Draymond, more aggressive, got suspended for 5 games. They're not committed to Kuminga enough. They're not committed to Moody. They're not committed to Pozemski. Not committed enough to these young guys to give them some solid playing time when there's opportunity for them to play. Klay just had his best game the other night. He looked better. But again, this team, they look a little slow, they look a little tired, and they look a little old outside of Steph. So it's definitely something worth monitoring. It's really hard to not think that they're going to make some kind of move, whether it's trading Klay, whether it's trading Draymond, whether it's trading someone, or whether it's trading like Moody to go and get a big piece, or trading Kuminga to go and give him an opportunity to get another big piece in. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Trading Andrew Wiggins, which needs to happen to get a piece. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Golden State Warriors. I'm keeping my eye on it because I think something could go down there. And, of course, the T-Wolves. The T-Wolves, they look really good. Their new ownership group of A-Rod and his partners, they likely wouldn't mind going against the luxury tax if they're winning. But there have been numerous rumors now that this is Anthony Edwards' team that Cat's irrelevant. I saw a stat that the Timberwolves are actually better when it's Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert on the floor versus Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns, which makes sense. Gobert's an elite defender, an elite pick and roll kind of guy. Cat's a pick and pop, can drive, can get you bored, but Gobert can do all those same things. He can't shoot as well, but outside of that, he does so much more for your team defensively than Cat. Some injuries. Bradley Beal's out 3 weeks. Walker Kessler on the Jazz. He's been cleared for activities again. The Blazers got Brogdon back. They might get Scoot Henderson back again this week as well. Pelicans Matt Ryan. He's out 2 weeks with a calf strain. And Jose Alvarado returned. Pistons, Monte Morris is out 6 to 8 weeks more. And then Jalen Duren in Detroit is practicing. Bojan Bogdanovic also cleared for contact. So reinforcements are on their way for Mo Williams and his team. So it's going to be really interesting to see how everything shakes out there. They have a lot of youth, the youngest team in the NBA. And I'm just really excited to see how it continues to shake out. So let's do some rookie review. Let's see kind of where our rookies are at. I got 5 highlighted. We're going to talk about top 5 rookies right now. And then going to give you a primer for who we're going to end up talking about next week. And some honorable mentions as well. So, obviously, if we're talking rookies, we're talking Wemby. Victor Wembanyama went 101 in this last draft. Through the first 13 games of his career. This was through his 13 games. I believe he's played one more. 19.3 points, 9.5 boards, 2.4 assists, shooting 42, 28, 77. So he's not shooting great from three. He's just not. That's plain and simple. He's shooting okay, you know, everywhere else. He's not crazy efficient. And then he's only shooting 77% from the line. So definitely some concern on the shooting, but again, it's a rookie. It's the NBA getting used to the pace of play and everything coming over from France. His career highs are already career highs. 38 points, 14 rebounds, 8 blocks. Pretty insane. So, I like it. Our next guy is Chet. He was actually the 2022 number 2 pick, but after a season-ending injury, they granted him rookie eligibility for this year. Through his 14 games, he's averaging 17 points, 7.8 boards, 2.6 assists, and he's shooting a really solid line of 56.5, 46%, and 90.7% from the line. So I believe it's the 60-40-90 club, something like that. He's right there. He's real close. So really like what I'm seeing for him. His career highs are almost right on with Wemby. 36 points, 13 boards, 7 blocks. These two almost mirror each other, but I like Chet's shot a little bit more, and I like his body as well. He's a little bit able to bang around, hang in there in the paint with some of the other bigs in the league. Then you got Ausar Thompson. He went number 5 overall in this last draft, currently playing for Detroit. Through 14 games, he's averaging 11 points, 10.3 boards, 3.4 assists, and he's shooting a dismal 44.1, 13.8% from 3, and a 69.8% from the line. So definitely some shooting woes to start his young career, but he is killing it on the board and defensively. 16 boards is his career high already, and 4 steals is his high. So really liking what we're seeing from Ausar Thompson. I think the future is bright for this kid. Jordan Hawkins, he went number 14 overall, and he's kind of been a guy that no one expected to get this much recognition early in the season, but injuries in front of him to like McCollum and his other teammates really have given him an opportunity. Through 13 games, he was averaging 13.3 points, 3.9 rebounds, 2.1 assists. He's shooting a less than ideal 38.9% from the field, 36% from 3, which is respectable, 84% from the line, which is also respectable. So really like what we're seeing from Jordan Hawkins. I think New Orleans has another solid piece to build on next to B.I. and Zion. And then the last guy we're going to highlight in our rookie review this week is going to be Derek Lively, Dallas Maverick. Big. He went number 12 overall through 13 games. He's putting up 8.6 points, 7.5 rebounds, 1.2 assists. Of course, if you have guys like Kyrie and Luka, you're going to take a backseat. But he's getting starter minutes. He's getting the ball. He's doing all the things they're asking him to do. So he's shooting 71% from the field, 0% from 3. I don't know if he's taken a 3 or hasn't taken a 3 or just missed the 1 or 2 he may have taken. And 63.6% from the line. So big man has to improve his shooting from the line, but overall from the field, he's very efficient. Picks his shots, takes his shots, and then he passes the ball back out too. So we can see that from his assist numbers. Some honorable mentions, guys we're going to talk a little bit more about soon. Brandon Miller, Charlotte, Jamie Jacquez Jr., Miami, Keon George, Utah, Bilal Coulibaly, Washington, and Marcus Sasser, Detroit. Next week, specifically, we're going to look into Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, Amen Thompson, Anthony Black, and Bilal Coulibaly, possibly even Jairus Walker, if we have the permitting time. So, let's jump into our prospect preview, because I am very excited for some prospect preview. And as you know, we play in a dynasty league in our league. So we're looking toward the future. We have an eye toward the future. We keep up on our rookies. We keep up on our sophomores. And we really try to say, okay, these guys are young. Is the opportunity there yet? Is it not there yet? Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Where's my team at? Do I tank? Are the draft picks worth it? Kind of thing. Can I trade them? Can I trade and go get a higher rookie pick for this guy maybe? You always are asking yourself these questions. Like, right now, I'm 3-1. I'm not even thinking about rookie picks. But if I fall to, like, 4-7 out of nowhere, knock on wood, I don't, then I'm definitely going to be thinking, okay, well, maybe I could go and sell, I don't know. I'm trying to think who's on my team. Michael Porter Jr. And maybe package him with, I don't know, Malcolm Brogdon or Caris LeVert. And go and get me a a top-end rookie pick to get one of these guys, because that's who I need for my team. I need a chance at a top three pick. So that's kind of where the strategy lies. Obviously, we have guys who are 0-4, a team like Lord Sage, who is dedicated to the tanking, but I don't think his team's going to tank as much as he thinks it's going to with all his trades. I think his team's actually going to be better now that he made some of those moves and got the younger injection of youth long-term. So, of course, we're thinking long-term here with a lot of our trades, a lot of our moves we make, trying to get those best guys. Like, I'm really happy with my team. My team's very, very, very young. It's hard for me to really move off of any of my guys because they're young. Like, LaMelo, Tyrese Maxey, Distinct and Core guys, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren. Siakam's a guy that, depending on where he lands towards the deadline and if he signs an extension, like a sign-in trade, which is very common in the NBA, then I'll really think about it. But if there's no extension and he goes into free agency, it's going to be hard for me to really want to continue on with him. So someone that I'm kind of willing to trade if the deal's right, because he is incredibly valuable. But he's one guy that I would probably trade for kind of one of these chances at a high-end rookie pick. So some of those high-end rookie picks that we're looking at, there's a clear tier one in this upcoming draft. There's no like top-end Victor Wembanyama generational type talent kind of guys that are like dead set 101, no doubt. But there are three guys who I think are the tier one, who all could go 101 depending on their performances this year. The first guy we're going to mention is guard forward Maurice Belize. He's currently playing with the G League Ignite. He could go 101. He's a 6'11 wing with a smooth stroke. He's a great ball handler. But the thing that scouts worry about with him is he's very long. He's very skinny. And it's hard to tell if he's going to be able to handle the physicality of the NBA. But the defense, the ball handling, I believe there's enough on the two-way defense to get back and guard along the perimeter as well. Enough length. So another guy who could go 101 with a solid year in the G League Ignite. The next guy, we're working backwards here. This is like my third. This guy who I would probably take in a mock third. Then we got guard forward Ron Holland. He's currently also playing in the G League Ignite. He could also go 101 in this draft. He's 6'8". He plays aggressively off the wing. He's a little bit thicker, which you like. He's not as skinny. He's excellent. He's really good both ways. Defense, offense, he looks really good both ways. He definitely passes the eye test for me. And then the guy that I'm most interested in, who is in play for the number one pick, and I really think he should go 101. Center Alex Saar. He's a 7'1 center currently playing for the Perth Wildcats in the NBL. He has a great frame already. He already has some muscle, so he already looks to have a somewhat NBA-ready body. He has a smooth shot. Like, this shot of his is silky smooth. Go and check out his highlight tape. He has great length. He's great. He's a great defender. He's a smart defender. He can get down to the paint. He can cover ground, get blocks, and he uses all his length to do that. I mean, he's 7'1". He protects the basket at all costs. He's also a really great wing defender. He has incredible lateral quickness. He gets inside quickly. His physical traits are off the chart. Like, he is so talented. He has so much upside, and there's not a lot of raw elements to his game. So I really think Alex Saar, out of these three, is probably your best bet for a 101 kind of pick right now. I really like him as a comp to Kristaps Porzingis with the shot, the body, everything coming into the NBA. Our other two here that we're going to round out with is guard forward Zachary Reischer. He's currently also playing in France. He has probably some of the most boomer bust potential of a top five talent. And he leads the second tier draft prospects. So if you're thinking tiers, Buzelis, Holland, Alexard, those are like your top tier, all kind of in play for the 1-3. Can mix and match any order depending on the team, depending on the need. Zachary Reiser, I think he leads the second tier of options, kind of that 4-7 kind of area right now. But he has crazy boomer bust. He's raw. He can shoot. He's a 6'8 wing with upside with his length. But the question is how much upside, and is he worth a top 5 pick? So it's really hard to say if this is going to be someone that's going to be franchise altering for you because the tools are so raw. Then lastly, we have our top collegiate prospect, who also a little bit more well-rounded, not as raw. And we're really going to have to see how he does this year. We have guard Isaiah Collier at USC. He's our top collegiate prospect in the draft. So out of everyone in the stateside, United States, outside of the G League, Isaiah Collier, top prospect. And he's going to have to be as good as advertised. USC is going to have to be as good as advertised, but in my opinion, to see kind of where they are this year. The upside is crazy. Crazy good ball handler, great floor spacer, creates shots, runs the floor, moves, keeps moving, quick, athletic, a little twitchy. If he can limit his turnovers, space the floor, and he can lead this USC team deep into a March Madness run, I think we could be talking about Collier as a top 4, if not top 3 pick. Maybe even offsetting Mata's Buzelis as a number 3, depending on how his season goes. And then next week, I want to talk a little bit more about, I want to keep on this, kind of our prospect primer, just reviewing. We're going to talk about guard Justin Edwards out of Kentucky, guard Stephen Castle out of UConn, guard Tyrese Proctor, he's in his second year at Duke, forward guard DJ Wagner, Kentucky, and then power forward center Donovan Klingon coming out of UConn. So that's our prospect preview of the week. And now let's get into our sophomore slump or nah. So our first guy here that we're going to talk about is Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero won the rookie of the year. He was a first team all rookie last year, drafted by the Magic. I know him super well, local guy to Seattle. He was the first overall pick out of Duke. He was a one and done. His NBA career so far this season, it's very similar to last year. He's shooting better from the field at 47%. He's taking less threes, but he's hitting them better at 41%. So he's a little bit more choosy with the shot. Let's see, free throws. He's shooting a little bit worse, 66%. Total rebounds, he's down 6.6%. His assist numbers are up to 4.4% in the early going. His steals are up 1.2 per game. And then blocks are up to 0.6. Turnovers are up as well, which hopefully he can bring those down, 3.4 turnovers. And he's averaging about 20 points a night. So he's looked good. He's looked really good. The Magic have looked decent this season. They haven't looked necessarily too bad. They're winning games. It actually looks like they're actually on a 4-game win streak. And he's shooting well. He's been shooting well. Banchero has. He looks good. He gets to the line. He's getting boards, assisting, blocks. It's just the turnovers. He had 7 turnovers against Chicago on the 17th. That hurts. So he just needs to limit those turnovers. But overall, he looks really good. I don't think there's any sophomore slump in him. Next is the Rockets, Jabari Smith. So let's pull him up. And all my stats that I look at and I find are all off of Basketball Reference. So just keep that in mind if you ever want to go check or cross-check these. So Jabari Smith. Let's see. He plays for the Portland Trailblazers. I picked up Jabari Walker. My bad. I'm like, Jabari Smith plays for the Rockets. That's for sure. Let's see. So, Jabari Smith, He was also an all-rookie pick. He was a third overall pick in the draft. So far this season, through 12 games, playing about 30 minutes a night, shooting 48% from the field, 33% from three. Let's see. Rebounding 7 boards a game, 1.3 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.6 blocks, 1.3 turnovers, and 3.6 personal fouls. So he's fouling a bit more. All his numbers are kind of status quo. Turnovers are the same. Blocks are actually down. Steals are up. Assists are the same. Rebounds are slightly down. Free throw percentage is way down. He's dropped almost 10% on his free throws to start the season at 69%. Let's see. His three-point shot's way better, 33% against 30 last year. Field goal percentage is better, 48% to 40% last year. So definitely some improvement there. I don't think he's slumping. I think the Rockets are really just trying to figure out their team, their identity, who plays what role, who's the scorer on any given night. And, yeah. And then we're going to swap over to the Kings, Keegan Murray. So, Keegan Murray, he was also an all-rookie player last year. He's playing about 33 minutes a night this year, so his minutes are up. Field goal percentage is actually down about 6% to 39% this year. Three-point shooting is way down. He's struggling from the three ball. 28.7% from three. Last year, he was at 41.1%. His overall efficiency is down about 10%, 47.3%. His free throw percentage is up to 85% against last year's 76%. So that's good. Rebounding, he's getting more boards at 6.2 this year to 4.6 last year. Assists are up, 2.0 assists. Steals are up at 1.4. Blocks are up at 0.6 to 0.5 last year. And turnovers are also up as well, 1.2 to 0.8. And then personal fouls are also up to 2.4 as well. Points per game, 13.2 this year to 12.2 last year. So there's definitely improvement, a lot of improvement defensively and just around the floor. But overall, it's not looking great. And I say that just because it just doesn't look great from the floor. He's not a primary option, which is, I think, is going to be okay for him right now because he needs to work on his shot. Obviously, it needs to get better. He struggled so far this year with his shot. So, but he's excelling on defense, which is going to keep him in the rotation for Mike Brown. And he's done really well with those difficult assignments. So maybe he's going to become more of a defensive specialist. Maybe that's what they're working on. Take the ball out of his hand, tell him to pass it, get bored, play a little bit bigger, use that length. He's 6'8", plays a 2-3 kind of position. So definitely someone to pick, keep your eye on. He was a fourth overall pick last year. Let's see. The Pistons, Jaden Ivey, I don't think there's a ton to talk about here. No offense or anything to him. He's played in 11 games this year, so the sample size is small. Let's see, he's playing about 22 minutes a game. He's only started 2 games out of the 11 so far that he has played in. He was behind Killian Hayes for a while. So I'm going to throw his numbers out because he's not even playing starter minutes like he was last year. But he is shooting better from the field at 52% against 41% last year. He's shooting slightly better from the three at 35% to 34% last year. He's shooting better from the line this year, 80% to 74% last year. Boards are down, assists are down, steals are down, turnovers are down, and personal fouls are down. But I think that's more of a product of not getting the playing time. So I'm not going to dive too much into Jaden Ivey. Even though I could, I'm not going to. And then Benedict Mathurin on the Pacers. Benedict Mathurin was also an all-rookie player through 13 games this year. I think he's looked really good. That Pacers team is clicking on all syllables. So through 13 games this year, he's played mostly at the small forward outside of playing the two guard last year, which has helped this team. He's shooting better from the field. He started 12 of 13 games. He's shooting better from the field, 43% versus 43.8 versus 43.4 last year. 3-point percentage is better at 34 versus 32 last year. Free throw percentage is down slightly from 82.8 to 78.9. Boards are the exact same at 4.1 a game. Assists are up to 2.2 a game against 1.5 last year. Steals are up to 0.7 steals against 0.6 last year. Blocks are the same as 0.2. Turnovers are actually down. That's a big one that I look at. I want to make sure a guy's getting better, making smarter plays. His turnovers are down to 1.2 against 1.9. And personal fouls, again, playing smarter. 1.7 against 2.1 last year. So he's scoring a little bit less. He's scoring 13.5 this year against 16.7 last year. But that's okay. I have no problem with that. I really like that. Mathurin was a 6th overall pick last year. So that's our sophomore slump or not. I'm not seeing any sophomore slumps out of this group so far. I'm really liking everything that we're seeing right now out of this group. So keep on it. We're going to keep at it. Next week, we're going to look at Shaedon Sharpe, Dyson Daniels, Jeremy Sochan, and the Wizards, Johnny Davis, Spurs, Jeremy Sochan, Pelicans, Dyson Daniels, and the Blazers, Shaedon Sharpe. And we're going to get into our final segment here. What's wrong with the Pistons? If you're a Detroit fan, I'm sorry, you're more than welcome to log off. I know you know the struggle. The struggle is real. The struggle is rough. The struggle is the struggle. And it has not been pretty in Detroit. And it's been rough going. Been rough going. As of 11/20, they're 4-35 since trading Sadiq Bey. I don't know how much weight that actually carries here, but it's a great primer. That they are 4-35 since trading him. That goes back to last season. Oh, man. This is hard because there's so much talent on this team. Like, there's a crazy amount of talent on this Pistons team. Former number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, last year, 2 years ago, third-year guard. He was a top recruit in his high school class. He's had hype his whole career. But his advanced stats, he's not efficient. His scoring efficiency from all over the court is not great. Zach Cram of The Ringer actually took a deeper look into this and suggesting that Cunningham and his game with his advanced metrics, that he might be more of a better number two offensive option on a team than a number one option that he's being made out to be. That's a tough reality for Pistons fans. Probably a tough reality for Cade himself. But he's not him. That was the draft. I think that was Cade. I'm trying to see. He was drafted, I'm pretty sure he was drafted in front of Melo, or LaMelo, if I'm not mistaken. 2021 draft, Cade Cunningham, he went number one, so I'm just trying to see this here. Oh, he went ahead of Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Jalen Suggs, Josh Giddey, Jonathan Kuminga, Franz Wagner, Davion Mitchell, and I think that's kind of where this ends of guys who were worth the draft capital. Outside of Sengun, Sengun was actually taken 16th in this draft by the Thunder, but then he was traded to the Rockets, which, man, the Thunder could use Sengun and what he's developed into. But Jalen Green, I mean, he's done primary. Evan Mobley looks really good, but Scotty Barnes, man, he has really turned out to be the dude in Toronto next to Siakam and Anunoby. Like, he can be a primary option if asked, and Cade just hasn't had that. Granted, Cade has also had a major injury in his career already, so that's also something to take into account. But I honestly think he would be a better number two than a primary option as well. The roster on this team, the youth does not help at all. They have second-year players, Jalen Durant, Jaden Ivey, and Isaiah Livers. Third-year players, Cade Cunningham and center Isaiah Stewart. Rookies, Oscar Thompson and Marcus Sasser, who are incredibly talented. Thompson, give him the ball. The rest of this team, Marvin Bagley, Jameis Wiseman, Killian Hayes, Stanley Udeme, like, those aren't it. If you're trying to build a quality bench, they'll play minutes, but there won't be good minutes. Then you have the vets, Alec Burks, Bagley's a vet. Kevin Knox is also on this team because they've had so many injuries. And then, of course, you still got Bojan Bogdanovic, who's injured. Monte Morris, who's injured. I forgot to add him in since we talked about him earlier. So you have a team, but you have injuries, you have youth, you have lack of congruency. So we look to the coach. We look at the rosters, obviously being very young, very raw, very underdeveloped, undercoached. Detroit, you know, it's part of it's going to be the system. But you have Monte Williams. He's the highest paid coach in the NBA next to Malone. He has a really good track record. He's done this before, where he brought Phoenix back into contention and got them to the conference finals. They were where they were 2021 semifinalists, and where he ended up being the semifinalist in 2021 for Coach of the Year and 2021-2022 Coach of the Year. So he's a former Coach of the Year. But again, with how kind of how the NBA works, it's Monty. He needs to get this team together. He needs to figure it out. So what is it? Is it injuries? They've had so many injuries, a lot of youth, no quality vets. I'm sorry, Alec Burks, Marvin Bagley, Kevin Knox, James Wiseman. You guys are not quality vets. Monte Morris, Bojan Bogdanovic, those are quality vets, but they're injured and they're not playing. Defensively, and I think this really tells the story. Defensively, they're 22nd in the NBA in defensive rating. Dead last in the NBA at 21.8 points allowed off of turnovers per game. So they're not getting back when they turn the ball over. Their defensive rotations are awful. They're 16th in fast break points allowed. They're 21st in points allowed at points allowed in the paint at 50.8 per game. Like, they don't rotate on defense. They don't help each other. They barely play defense as it is. Like, they're not good at defense. Like, they're just not. They don't have a guy who can call out defensive rotations that understands the defense, that sees the defense moving on the floor. They don't have anyone talking on the floor. Like, they're just not moving. They're not getting back. They're getting dominated inside. It's just not, it's not pretty. Part of it's how this team's built. They don't have a lot of quality big men outside of Stewart. And yeah, it's outside of that, it's rough. And it's rough. It's very rough. However, the offense is very efficient. They're very efficient from inside the perimeter, 66.9%. That's a top, I want to say, 10 in the NBA. But the NBA is a three-point league now, and they show a league-worst three-point shooting percentage of 33.1%. How do you fix this? Well, I think you have to package Ivy. You have to give up some of this youth. You have to get rid of it. You have to decide, is it Ivy or is it Duran? Or is it Ivy? Sorry, it's not Duran. Is it Ivy or is it Cade? Is it Duran or is it Stewart? Is it Sasser or is it Ivy? Kind of deal. You have to ask these questions. Is it Cunningham or is it Ivy? Is it Cunningham or is it Sasser? Is it Thompson? Well, I think Thompson for sure stays. I don't think they're going to get rid of Cade. I think they just drafted Sasser. So I think it really comes down to, is it Duran, Ivy, Livers, Stewart? I think you got to keep Stewart because you need someone who has some experience on this team. But you got to try to trade some of these, maybe Duran, maybe Ivy, maybe Livers. Got to package these guys along with the contracts of like Joe Harris, Marvin Bagley, James Wiseman, Bojan Bogdanovic. Get out of this cap where they're going to have plenty of cap next year. They're going to have almost $60 million in cap. So if they can get out of the cap now for the rest of this season and trade off one of those assets to bring in a vet, I don't know, Alex Caruso. get involved for LaVine, get involved for DeRozan, get involved for Siakam, get involved for Anunoby, get involved for someone. Get involved for someone that's a high-end option that is your number one. Make all these guys your number two plus, and go to work from there. I mean, you're not going to build this team with Cade Cunningham as your number one option. You're not going to build it with go and get a number one, trade one of these youth pieces, along with the contracts of Bogdanović, Harris, I don't care who, Bagley, Wiseman, all of them, trade them all. Ditch Killian Hayes to the waiver wire. Just get him off your team, pretty much. You don't need him. And get a guy right now, and then use some of that cap next year to, you know, see where, who is going to get the rookie scale extensions that are going to kick in, and then from there, go from there. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Get a number one by using some of the talent. You have the talent, you have the pick, you have the tradable contracts to make it work, to get make everyone happy. Get out of the cap situation you're in this year. Next year, spend your cap on another, some solid auxiliary pieces, and then go and win next year. Let these guys develop this year next to a solid number one, as into new roles, and then go for it next year. And I think that's how you fix it. I don't think it's that deep. I think it's easy fix, and you can do it. So make sure you guys comment on the video on YouTube, or you go into Spotify and you answer the question of the day, who should we fix next? What's wrong with the blank? And we'll put a few teams up there as well. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving. You stay safe. You stay blessed. Stay loved. Stay fat. Stay full. I love you. Enjoy the holiday, and we'll be back with you sometime next week, I'm sure.